From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequencies shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Deputy Head of the Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Angela Tanusudibyo, invited millennials and Generation Z or Zoomers to take part in developing sustainable tourism. One way is to take advantage of technological developments that are increasingly familiar to the younger generation. Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Angela Tanusudibyo, while attending the webinar Co-Creation in the Sustainable Tourism Development Program in the Era of Millennial Generation and Generation Z on Thursday, said, "This webinar was right on target because in developing sustainable tourism, it was necessary to involve voices and preferences of the younger generation." Angela said the COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way of life and also people's preferences in traveling, including the younger generation who are increasingly concerned with environmental sustainability issues. Millennial travelers and future Z generation will choose destinations that are environmentally friendly, safe, healthy, away from the crowd, and more authentic. As a form of Kemenparekraf commitment to sustainable tourism, several programs have been implemented, such as revitalization of destination, the CHSE program, building community capacity, certification of tourist villages, developing ecotourism, community-based development, and many more. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan revealed that the number of COVID-19 or corona cases in Bali has decreased. This allows economic activity in Bali to be resumed, one of which is in the tourism sector. Coordinating Minister Luhut, while chairing a coordination meeting for Bali Tourism Recovery at the Marves Jakarta office on Thursday, explained that it is possible if later tourism in Bali will be reopened. However, beforehand, it is necessary to conduct socialization, such as regarding the rules or regulation of tourism procedures in Bali, especially for foreign tourists. In addition, Coordinating Minister Luhut continued, "In an economic recovery in Bali, the government has started a national program on vaccination. It is known that more than 13,000 hospital workers in Bali will immediately receive a vaccine injection. This is expected to bring more trust from tourists. The Indonesian government continues to improve facilities related to COVID-19 throughout Bali, including in preparation for the upcoming G20 summit in Bali. Not only that, the Indonesian government also invited foreign embassies to make field visits to Bali to witness firsthand the COVID-19 control measures being implemented to screen and protect foreign tourists." In following up on the mandate of the Indonesian Maritime Policy or KKI, the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Kemenko Marves, held a focus group discussion or FGD with the topic of discussing the concept of national maritime directions in Bogor. Secretary of the Coordinating Ministry, Sesmenko Marves, Agung Kuswandono, at his opening expressed his concern if in the future the direction of government policy changes and does not emphasize the basis of Indonesia as a maritime country anymore. This can happen one of which may be the result of the government not preparing and showing documents explaining that this maritime is an important thing. For this reason, at these maritime direction meetings, the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs invited friends from the National Development Planning Agency, BAPANAS, and the Presidential Staff Office, KSP, to discuss future government strategic steps and how efforts should be prepared so that the concept of this maritime direction can be backbone of development. Regarding to this, the expert staff of the Minister for the Socio-Anthropology Sector, Tukul Rameo Adi, said that the maritime direction plan had been started with an internal discussion at the Coordinating Ministry for Marfes. According to him, the concern of this arrangement is to produce complete documents related to course of the Indonesian Maritime Development 2020-2045. Indonesian Embassy in UK hosts a virtual event on Thursday with the Team Indonesia-UK Interdisciplinary Sciences Forum, enabling global health security. Recently, Indonesia and the UK have struck an agreement to strengthen research partnership between the two countries, and for the first time, a collaboration of six major universities, the UK-Indonesia Consortium for Interdisciplinary Sciences, or UKICIS, motored by Indonesian diaspora academics in the UK, has been established to build global resilience against pandemic. On his speech, UK's Minister of State Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office, FCDO, Nigel Adams, said that Indonesia and UK have special partnership in research and innovation during this pandemic situation.
Our partnership with Indonesia is a very special one. And I was delighted to learn that the UK has become one of India's top five partners in research and innovation. The partnerships that have been created between our researchers will serve our communities incredibly well. And I also welcome signing of the Memorandum of Understanding on science collaboration today. The extraordinary impact of COVID-19 and the global response to the pandemic has demonstrated the vital importance of research collaboration and the significance of science and research at the heart of government-to-government cooperation. And despite the challenging context in which we will all be working for some time, the United Kingdom is committed to supporting science and research in our international partnerships.
Meanwhile, Indonesian Technology and Research Minister Bambang Brojonegoro stated that the step of international collaboration has been one of Indonesia's strategy to improve research quality and promoting more innovation in Indonesia.
And this type of international collaboration has been one of our main strategy to improve research quality and promoting more innovation in Indonesia. We already developed some collaboration with other countries, also with several universities, but I think the UKIS scheme, I think is quite unique because it is initiated by the Indonesians who happen to be the diaspora in the three universities in UK, and they are collaborating with their counterpart in Indonesia. And thankfully, today we can witness the signing for this understanding, and we hope the UKCs will function fully when it's already in effect.
On the similar event, UK Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Owen Jenkins, revealed that Indonesia and UK partnerships on research and innovation is strong and fundamental to the development of both countries in combating COVID-19 pandemic. On the other hand, Indonesian Ambassador to UK, Desra Percaya, said that this partnership is a new era in science and innovation and priority of the ambassadorships as mandated by President Joko Widodo to accelerate Indonesia's human capital development in achieving sustainable economic growth, as well as contributing to address global challenges. Let's move on to the international news. The UK Prime Minister warned the UN Security Council this week that unless people take an urgent action to tackle climate change, the world risks worsening conflict, displacement, and insecurity. He chaired a virtual session of the Council to call on members to help the most vulnerable countries adapt to the impact of climate change and take steps to cut global emissions to net zero by 2050. It was the first time a British prime minister has chaired the UNSC in nearly 30 years, and the first leader-level discussion on climate at the Security Council. Both shows the importance of the issues. Ahead of chairing the UN Security Council session, Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the UN Security Council is tasked with confronting the gravest threats to global peace and security, and that's exactly what climate change represents. The UK has led the way on climate action, committing in law to reach net zero by 2050 and pledging to cut greenhouse gas emissions by at least 68% by 2030, the steepest reduction of any major economy. In the last few years, the UK helped pastoralists in the Sahel deal with the impact of strengthened natural resources management in the Darfur region of Sudan and supported 200 communities in Somalia to build resilience to climate shocks. Public broadcasters NHK reported on Friday that the Japanese government will end a state of emergency in all but Tokyo and three neighboring prefectures at the end of this month, a week earlier than scheduled. The government had placed 11 of Japan's 47 prefectures under a state of emergency in January as the third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic swept the nation. One of those prefectures, Tochigi, had already emerged early from the government's designated emergency state. Coronavirus infection have declined significantly across the country since peaking in early January, including in the capital Tokyo, and the government is hoping to lift the state of emergency in the remaining four prefectures as planned on March 7. Under the latest measures, Japan has asked bars and restaurants to close by 8 p.m. and companies to strive for more telecommuting. It has also suspended a popular go-to-travel subsidized tourism program. Japan has so far recorded about 426,000 coronavirus cases and 7,645 deaths as of February 24, according to the Health Ministry. Asian stocks skidded to one-month low on Friday as a rout in global bond markets sent yields flying and spooked investors amid fears the heavy losses suffered could trigger distress selling in other assets. The scale of the sell-off prompted Australia's central bank to launch a surprise bond buying operation to try and staunch the bleeding, helping yields there come off early peaks. Market were hedging the risk of an earlier rate hike from the Federal Reserves, even though officials this week vowed any move was long in the future. Fed fund futures are now almost fully priced for a rise of 0.25% by January 2023, while euro dollars have it discounted for June 2022. Even the thought of an eventual end to super cheap money sent shivers through global stocks markets, which have been regularly hitting record highs and stretching valuation. That was the news.
Oh.
After seizing power from a democratic government and detained de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi and several other state officials last Monday, the Myanmar military then declared a state of emergency for 1 year. The country is now marked by demonstrations and clashes between the military and Aung San Suu Kyi supporters. What is interesting to note is how the international response to the coup carried out by the Myanmar military junta. On Tuesday, British Foreign Minister Dominic Raab declared his support for religious freedom and liberal democratic values and media freedom in Myanmar. According to Dominic Raab, the issue of the Myanmar coup is getting worse. The political crisis in the country also has the potential to increase the risk for minority groups such as the Rohingya. The violations that occurred in Myanmar are well documented, including arbitrary detentions and restrictions on freedom of expression. Then the UK plans to sponsor a resolution renewing the mandate of the UN Special Rapporteur on Myanmar. Previously, Britain had also imposed sanctions on a number of Myanmar military officers and political officials. Meanwhile, the United States has imposed sanctions on Myanmar's leaders in the immediate aftermath of the February 1st coup. Canadian Foreign Minister Mark Garneau also announced a list of sanctions against 9 Myanmar's officials. According to Mark Garneau, Canada will not accept Myanmar's military action and neglect of the democratic rights and desires of the Myanmar people. Meanwhile, Asian countries displayed different attitudes towards Myanmar. In the early days of the coup, Asian member countries did not want to interfere with what happened there. This is in line with Asians' policy of not interfering in the domestic affairs of its members. Deputy Prime Minister of Thailand, Prawit Wongsuwan, when asked by reporters, said that it was an internal matter of Myanmar. The Philippine Foreign Minister Teodoro Loxin Jr. said what happened in Myanmar was not a coup and likened the situation in Myanmar to a chess move that might be done to protect democracy in the country. Cambodian leader Hun Sen also called Myanmar's military coup and domestic affair of the country and declined to comment further. On Wednesday, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi met with Myanmar's foreign minister, who was appointed by the military, Wuna Maung Luin, in Bangkok, on the sidelines of her working visit to Thailand. The meeting was held after the cancelling of a planned visit to Myanmar's capital, Naypyidaw. In a virtual press conference on Wednesday, Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized that Indonesia will always be with the people of Myanmar. She explained that Indonesia has a concern for political developments in Myanmar. For Indonesia, the safety and welfare of the people of Myanmar is a priority. Thereby, all parties must exercise restraint and avoid violence in a bid to prevent casualties and bloodshed. Indonesia, in this case, continues to strive to demonstrate a free and active foreign policy stance. Indonesia's concern for the safety and welfare of the people of Myanmar is an important matter for immediate response and support, regardless of the political attitude of each country. That was commentary. Today in history, we'll begin on February 26, 1992, when the massacre in Khojaly ended. Khojaly massacre was a mass murder of Azerbaijan ethnicities in Khojaly on February 25th and 26, 1992, during the Nagorno-Karabakh War. The war between Armenian and Azerbaijan itself happened since February 1988 until May 1944. It became the most devastating ethnic conflict after the fall of Soviet Union in December 1991. According to Azerbaijan, Human Rights Watch, and other international observers, the massacre was done by Armenian armed forces and killed 613 people, including 106 women and 83 children among them. Moving on to February 26, 1933, World Trade Center bombing happens. A truck bomb exploded under the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City. The device containing 606 kilograms of nitrate hydrogen gas was made to destroy the North Tower or Tower 1 and the South Tower or Tower 2, as well as to kill thousands of people. The bombing killed six and wounded more than 100 victims. Last information on February 26, 2013, hot air balloon incidents in Luxor occurred. A hot air balloon fell from the sky of Luxor, Egypt on February 26, 2013 at 7 a.m. local time. The incident killed 19 people, 18 died on spot, while another died on the way to the hospital 1 hour later. This became the deadliest hot air balloon incident in history, worse than the Alice Springs incident in Australia in 1989. That was Today in History.
They say, look at you now, what are you wearing? Going to places that I have never been. Walking around like a superstar. Everybody seems to like you like they know you from the start. I see you on the news, you begging for reviews. Nobody then thought you would be you are right now.
Right now,
I'm living in my dreams right now.
What now?
Listen to what I'm about to say. I sing to live and make you dancing. Proving myself that I am worth to be king. Rock turns to diamonds under pressure. Slow it down, hold it now. I'm making my treasure. Let's fly, just be yourself for a while. Your own agenda. Kita tidak berbeda. Percaya dengan apa yang akan kau raih. Dan terus berlari. Do what he's about to say.
They say time is an illusion, but we remember the moments. I think that is what's important. All that laughter and affection. Signing papers looking better. Who would have hit the progression when we're working to bless everyone in each and every moment? So just give it a chance to take place. To put a smile on your face, to take away the days. Close your eyes so you can see the day. So you can see your future and embrace the present. We're moving in the different pace. We're running in the different pace. We share the same space. Same place to get on the groove and bust some rope in school. You can feel the same thing too. And we'll be here sharing love, sharing anything that's worth sharing. Look at me now, I'm making singing my song. If you ever feel bad, I want you to sing my song. Outshining depression and the bad thoughts.
I simply live and make you dancing. Proving myself that I am worth being. We thirst the diamonds under pressure.
Slow it down, hold it now. I'ma get my treasure. Let's go.
Just be yourself.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Industry Ministry Health and Technology Training of SNE ISO 9001-2015 for 1,000 industry players to increase national industrial competitiveness. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita in his remark virtually on Tuesday said that the training participants came from across the country. He also explained that SNE ISO 9001-2015 is a quality management standard that is general, international, and relevant for all organizations. It is also a foundation from the quality infrastructure of an organization, especially industry, in producing quality and consistent products so that domestic industry competitiveness improves. Minister Agus Gumiwang added, through the implementation of ISO 9001-2015, the industry will be able to ensure consumers' needs and expectations globally. Therefore, export opportunities will be wider for those who implement and integrate it with their business process. So SNE ISO 9001-2015 is an obligatory quality management system in implementing the compulsory Indonesian national standards in industry. Furthermore, Minister Agus Gumiwang remarked that industry competitiveness is decided by product quality and costs borne by the industry. Product quality will affect consumer satisfaction, while cost is a spending done by the industry to create the product. If the quality of products can improve along with decreasing production's costs, the industry competitiveness will also increase. Product's quality has some aspects, such as standards quality compliance. Therefore, a quality product is a product that fulfills the standards consistently, effectively, and efficiently. Minister Agus Gumiwang hopes that the technical training can be implemented in each industry and enhance the national industry competitiveness. In the end, it will boost national economic recovery and also realize prosperity for the people of Indonesia. That was My Indonesia.
Fade away, but one thing remains.
Our love will stay with me.
penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
On Indonesian Wonder for today, I'm going to introduce you to Batang Buruk Cake. You can easily find this cake in Riau Province. This cake has an interesting history. The name of the cake originated from the story of a king's daughter who fell in love with someone. According to the website of the Cultural Values Preservation Center of the Directorate General of Cultures at the Ministry of Education and Culture, this cake has been known for 4 centuries. Wan Sandari, the eldest daughter of Baginda Raja Tua, is said to keep her love for a man named Raja Andak, with the title Panglima Muda Bintan. But unfortunately, the princess could not share her love with Panglima Muda Bintan. He prefers Wan Inta to Wan Sundari's younger brother. The princess, who gets heartbroken, tries to get rid of her confusion by trying a new recipe in the royal palace kitchen. She also succeeds to make a unique light cake. If beaten, the cake will break apart. Then the princess cake is served to royal guests, including King Andak. However, when the guests enjoy the cakes, they suddenly have to control their shy feeling because the cakes that they have eaten suddenly fall. The scattered bits fill some of the great clothes they are wearing. They also feel embarrassed and can only bow because they feel it is difficult of eating the cake made by the princess. Otherwise, Raja Andak does feel difficult of eating the cake, Wan Sandari's favorite man. Only this young chief commander eats the cake. But there is not a single piece of cake which stands his kingdom shirt. The Batang Buruk cake has the philosophy to break in the mouth as long as it doesn't break in the hand. This illustrates how a nobleman has manners when eating. No exception when they are tasting a snack. If a nobleman is in a hurry and is careless when eating or tasting food, it reflects how bad the nobleman's behavior is. That is a wise message. Of Batang Buruk cake is a cookie that is always served during Idul Fitri. In addition, This cake is also served to welcome guests and as a delivery to take home. This cake is made from wheat flour mixed with crushed rice flour and coconut flour. When served, the small cake is covered in a dough filled with a mixture of fried green bean powder, soft powdered sugar, and powdered milk or sweetened condensed milk. This cake tastes sweet and savory. That was Indonesian Wonder.
Are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Traditional music.
To stimulate the tourism sector, the government of Pariaman City, West Sumatra, has scheduled the 2021 Pariaman International Triathlon Sport Event in August. Mayor of Pariaman, Genius Umar, said in Pariaman that the number of participating athletes this year will not be as many as in previous years. This activity can also be monitored virtually. The implementation of the Pariaman International Triathlon 2021 emphasizes on quality rather than quantity of participants. Given the COVID-19 pandemic, which requires a reduction in the number of participants in this annual sporting activity. In the Pariaman International Triathlon 2021, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, will come directly to Pariaman to make this activity a success. His site also is ready to provide support for the implementation of the 2021 Pariaman International Triathlon. Genius Umar explained that the Pariaman International Triathlon 2021 is an activity that can support the tourism sector in the area. The Pariaman Triathlon was held for the first time in 2017. This event was considered a success and features 144 athletes from a number of countries such as France, New Zealand, Hungary, Japan, Spain, and Portugal. The participants were very enthusiastic and enjoyed competing in the open air while exploring the beauty of Pariaman City. Besides bringing about an impact on tourism, this event also has a direct impact on the industry in Pariaman City. The participants who were accompanied by their team or family met the occupancy rate of hotels in Pariaman increased sharply. That was Miss Seleni.
Yeah. then I just don't have it. They say, just go back, forget it. They say, they say, they say, I say, well, I'm just gonna get it. I say, I won't stop till I made it. I say, I will not regret it. I say, I say, I say, I can be that silver lining in the cloud. I'ma show the world what I'm about. I will sing out loud.
I will sing out loud.
Oh yeah. I can be that hole in the universe. I can be that joy that you deserve. I will sing out loud.
I will sing out loud. You can be the fire that lights up the world. With your energy, stronger together. You can climb higher to the top of the world. With your spirit, you're unbeatable.
I can be that circle lining in the cloud.
Yeah.
I'ma show the world what I'm about. I will sing out loud. If you're feeling stronger, clap your hands. I can be that hole in the universe.
Yeah.
I can be that joy that you deserve. I will sing.
Let's take it higher now.
You give me the fire that lights up the world. With your energy, stronger together.
Stronger together.
You can climb higher to the top of the world. With your spirit, you're unbeatable.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Central Java entitled Layang Kangen. Layang Kangen means a longing letter. This song tells about the longing of a couple who is separated and can only communicate through letters. The man asked his lover to wait until he returned. The song, which was created and popularized by Didi Kempot, was released in 2012. The video clip was republished on Dansa Entertainment's official YouTube channel in 2018. And was able to attract more than 16 million viewers. Here is Didi Kempot with the song entitled Layang Kangen.
Thank you.
Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Can go back and forth, picking up my heart and drop it back on the floor. So you think that it's fine for you to come around after what you have done? How many times have I told you I don't need your apologies? If you're just gonna keep coming around and do it on repeat.
Listener, we end our Togetherness in English Language Program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English Language Program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.